This is a story of ownership of the worst kind. Fanny Clunch was raised by her grandmother, first in Morocco, then in France. Fanny's mother left when Fanny was just an infant, and her father needed help as a single parent. When Fanny was young, her grandmother, Selma, over dinner or before bed, would tell Fanny a story, always the same story. It went something like this. When Selma was 4, she was abducted and sold into slavery to a wealthy Moroccan family. Selma became their cook. When she came of age, she was married off, but a year later, her husband was killed in an accident, which meant now she didn't belong to anyone. She was free.
I was never sure why my grandmother would tell me her story over and over. I did not grasp the meaning. She would say it with joy, and it seemed like a very sad story at the time, and I just couldn't understand that.
In time, Fanny would come to understand. When Fanny was 10, her grandmother, they were living in France now, took Fanny back to Morocco for a vacation. There, Selma took ill and died, and Fanny was on her own. She couldn't reach her father, and so this 10-year-old girl sought out a friend of her grandmother's named Adija. She hoped this friend and her grown daughter Fatima could help her get back to France.
At the beginning, when I arrived at Khadija's house, they were very nice. And then as time went by, I was assigned certain chores, such as washing the clothes. Because I was too short to wash the clothes in the regular sink, they bought me a basin and a washing board. I remember sometimes the soap was too big for me to scrub on the clothes, so I had to hold it with two hands and go like this, and then I would slip in the water. And I had to wash the floors every day. I had to go and do the groceries on a daily basis. So when I first came to Khadija, I was hoping that she would help me and send me back to France. But that was not the case. The family did not care for me to have an education. They just wanted me to be there and do the tasks around the house. They truly thought that they were blessed to have this child who came to them, you know. They didn't have to invest anything to get this commodity. They didn't even have to buy a slave, you know. They felt like they won the lottery. And Fatima, she was thinking about her own status as a woman in Morocco. Pretty soon I was this object that she could show to everybody. Once a week or every other week on a Sunday, we would go to the beach. They would go with the two little boys, and then they had this black little kid carrying the parasol. And for them, I was their signe extérieur de richesse, their symbol status. By showing me, they could tell that they had a certain wealth. At this point, I had been with the family for 4 or 5 months. I was just taking the time to figure out une échappatoire, a way out. It took a lot of time, and I was being very careful. As I was doing my chores, as I was going outside to do the groceries, I was also observing, and I got some money because I was able to pocket some money from going to the grocery store. I just pretended that instead of buying that spice that day, I didn't buy it, and I pocketed the money. You could buy envelopes individually. And I bought one, and I bought a stamp. And I grabbed a piece of paper from a notebook, and I wrote the letter to the French embassy. It's not that extraordinary, even though I was 11. I was doing a lot of things like this for my grandmother. Every time that she needed a letter, I wrote it for her because she didn't know how to write. I wrote that my grandmother died and I've been stuck in Morocco. I'm with the Ghazali family and I would like to go back to France to my father. I did that when I was on an errand for the family. It was very calculated. No one was suspicious that I was gone. I went on a regular basis to the store. So I didn't even know that it was going to arrive there, but I just wrote Ambassade de France, Casablanca, Maroc, and that's it. week later, two gentlemen from the embassy showed up. They came and I just ran out the door and grabbed one gentleman's hand, and I didn't want to go back, and I was pulling him down the stairs. The family was just in shock. They didn't say anything. 2 days later, I flew back to Paris. I was very happy. I was overjoyed, and and it reminded me at that moment the story as it was told by my grandmother, that she was very happy to find her freedom. So it was like I finally got it and finally understood what she meant. I thought, this is it. I finally got to the place where my grandmother was, that I finally earned my freedom and that life was going to be much easier. When I went to Paris, I expected my father to be at the airport, but he wasn't. My father was in Libreville in Gabon, in Africa. He had written a letter giving custody to his mother-in-law. I was welcomed by my stepmother and her mother, both of them. It's ironical because I had just left two women in Morocco and here's these two other women at the airport. So that was the first encounter, and I realized that the situation was going to be not what I expected. We took the train to a town called Châtellerault in the center of France. It's near Poitiers. And in the household, there were the parents and 10 children. I was number 11. When my father had given custody to his mother-in-law, a social worker came to see me, and I remember that vividly. I'm sure that there were some papers involved, and then I figured out that she was receiving an alimony from the state by having me in her house. A family in France, when you have three children and above, you receive l'allocation familiale. And the reason why she wanted me, it's because that was going to increase that amount that she was receiving. And also because I was a girl and I was going to do all of the chores in the house. So I am in this new household and I realized that the situation is a lot worse than it was in Morocco. A lot worse. They put me to work right away. The chores that I had to do were doubled or tripled, given the amount of people that lived in the house. I was taking care of everybody. I was happy that I was going to school, but I wasn't registered to eat lunch in the school, so I had to come home at lunchtime. And when I came home at lunchtime, I was not allowed to go back to school. I had to stay home and wash the dishes, mop the floors, make everybody's bed, take the trash outside, iron everybody's clothes. But I didn't cook. And I pretended that I didn't know how to cook. So whenever they asked me to boil water, I'll boil the water and I'll forget it and let it boil. I would put 3 or 4 times a lot of salt in a dish. I would burn stuff, and they would comment on how stupid I was, having a grandmother who was a cook and not knowing how to cook. I burned everything because I didn't want to be a slave like she was. I didn't want to end up like she was, but at the same time, my grandmother wanted something better for me. She had a better hope for me and great plans, and so I was thinking, she made it, and then so can I. So I wasn't going to cook. The only plan I had was to go and meet with the judge who placed me with my father's mother-in-law. I had an idea where the judge was simply because the Palace of Justice was in Poitiers. And I knew that. So my goal was to travel to Poitiers, which is about 30 kilometers from Châtellerault. At this point, I was 13. The day that I planned to run away was a Friday right before Easter break. I came home and spent some time washing dishes, as I usually did. And after dinner, I cleaned more dishes and I decided to take the trash to the basement. And before doing so, I just grabbed my jacket and I threw it from the window so that nobody would be suspicious. And I took the trash down and then I just left it there and grabbed my jacket and I ran. To make a long story short, the judge investigated and ordered that I would be removed from the family permanently and made recommendation that I'd be sent to a boarding school in Lusignan. For the first time, I felt strong and knew that I was going to make it. When I left the second family, it was the time when I truly gained my freedom because I knew that I was not going to belong to anybody anymore. I was a form of commodity and I was this child that they were using. I was determined to never let anyone use me or own me again, ever again. During the whole saga, I was thinking about my grandmother on a daily basis because I thought about her story and I thought about how she told me the story because she definitely did not want the story to happen to me. And I had more tools, I had more knowledge, I was more prepared. Nobody prepared her, she prepared me.
Fanny Clonch eventually immigrated to the U.S. and now teaches high school in Chicago. She still has a small black and white photograph of her grandmother, which she keeps by her bedside. Thank you.